I'd like to ask you this morning, if you will, to please turn in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. Before we begin to endeavor to read and study from the Word of God, I would ask you to please join your hearts together with me in a moment of prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we lift up our eyes unto the hills from whence cometh our help, knowing that our help comes from the one true and living God, who is all-powerful and all-wise, the one who created the heavens and the earth. And we're thankful, Lord, for your great power. We're thankful for your majesty and holiness and perfection. And we're thankful, Lord, that we're your children, that you've chosen us and redeemed us by the precious blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We thank thee that we know that heaven is real and that one day when this world is over that we're going to be carried home to be with thee forever and that home eternal in the heavens, not made with hands, where there will be no more sorrow, no sickness, no more pain, and no more death. But we're thankful that while we live here, that we have the blessed privilege of having you to come down and dwell with us here. Thankful for the kingdom of heaven that thou hast established, that we can feel that righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. We're thankful for the privilege of dwelling in Christ Jesus our Lord, and sitting together in heavenly places. We thank you, Lord, for the privilege that we have to have families, the family of God, our brothers and sisters in Christ. We thank you for the love and the fellowship that we enjoy one with another. We thank you for the privilege to be a part of thy church in the earth. And we pray that you'd help us to earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints, that you would help us to conduct ourselves in such a way that we would be the house of God, that you would dwell here and manifest your presence in this place. We thank you for every individual that's here today and each family that's represented. We pray that you would bless each one. You know the needs of each person, each family, not only those that are here, but those that are on our prayer list and all the others of thy children the world over. We ask you to bless each one. Bless every congregation, wherever they're assembled together in thy name this day. We pray that you would manifest your presence to them. Bless every man of God to preach the word of God and bless us to all hear, understand, believe, and obey thy word. May thy word be as seed sown in fertile ground. May it bring forth fruit to perfection in each of our lives. We thank you again for our family, our natural families, and pray that you would bless all of our loved ones and all of thy people the world over. Be with us all. Forgive us of our sins. Be merciful and gracious in all thy dealings with us, and help us as we leave the building this day, that we can say that it's been good to have been in the house of the Lord, to have felt the presence of God, and to be fed with manna from on high. Teach us now, we pray in the blessed and holy name of our Lord and our Savior, our elder brother, the King of kings and Lord of lords, in the precious name of Jesus Christ, we pray.
Amen.
As we begin a new year this coming week, this coming Thursday night, we'll begin a new year. Friday will be January the 1st, 2010. It's impossible for me to comprehend how quickly the years go by. It's only been, seemed like yesterday, that we were talking about turning over a new millennium, that it was going to be the year 2000. There were all kinds of concerns about the beginning of the year 2000. Here it is now, 10 years later, and it seems like the years just fly by. But as we begin this year, I want us to think about something that God's Word teaches in the very beginning of the Bible. It says, in the beginning, what? In the beginning, God. Now it goes on to say, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And that's an important truth that God is the creator. God spoke the world into existence. That God said, let there be light, and there was light. He spoke everything into existence, and in 6 days, God created the heaven and the earth. But I want us to go back to this first statement in verse 1, where the Word of God says, in the beginning, God. And I believe that in those four words that we have a basic principle that is a foundation for us to have a good year. In fact, if you want to have a successful and a joy-filled year, then you will have God in the beginning. In the beginning, God. And I first want to say that I believe that in the beginning of every day, Marty mentioned this in his prayer, that when we wake up in the morning, in the beginning of every day, we need to thank God for sparing the members of our family through another night. Every day that we wake up, in the beginning of that day, we need to always remember God is the one who has spared our nation through another night. So in the beginning of every day, please begin your day by communing with God and praying to God and praising God as soon as you wake up. Now, everybody is different. My problem is when I wake up, if I just lay in the bed and if I just lay there and start praying to God, I typically go back to sleep. And so I would encourage you that if you have that problem, that you get up and you kneel down and you pray. You get on your knees and you ask God to help you in the beginning of that day. But every day in the beginning of that day, begin that day by thinking about God and praising God and worshiping God every day. Then God has divided things up so that we have weeks. Every 7 days we have a new what? Week. A new week. And on the first day of the week, in the beginning of every week, do you know where we ought to be in the beginning of every week? We ought to be in the house of God. In the beginning of every week, we need to always honor God and put God first and go to the house of God and worship God and praise God. And the Word of God says that we're to, on the first day of the week, we're to bring our tithes and offerings into the house of God. All of that's part of acknowledging in the beginning what? In the beginning God. In the beginning of every day and in the beginning of every week. We should begin that week on the first day of the week by spending that day as a day unto the Lord, a day of worship and a day of praise and a day of honoring God and going to God's house. So in the beginning of every week, if you want a successful year, if you want a joy-filled year, if you want to have a year that honors and glorifies God, you have to begin every day with God. And you have to begin every week with God. Every week with God. You have to begin every year with God. This year, I encourage you, I ask you, and I beg you in the name of Christ that this coming Friday, on the first day of the year, that you spend some time that day in special worship and praise to God. If it's nobody but you and your family, then get your family together and spend just a little time reading the Word of God and praising God and worshiping God. You and your family will have a better day and a better year if God is in the beginning of every day and in the beginning of every week and in the beginning of every month and in the beginning of every year. Not only in time, in the beginning. You know, what we're really trying to look at this morning is the importance of setting priorities. Setting priorities. Of doing first things first. Doing things that are right. Doing the main thing. Do you ever start the day doing something other than thinking about God and other than praising God? Sometimes we get so busy, we get up and we just, boom, we head out. I've heard people say, I'm just too busy to begin my day reading the Word of God and praying. Listen, brethren, if you have a day that's full of things that you need to do, it's too important for you to begin that day without praying. We need God's help every day. And so in the beginning of every day, as you begin your task, as you begin your jobs, as you begin your responsibilities, as you are going to face trials and tribulations in every day, as you begin that day in the beginning of every trial and tribulation and every task, and every time something happens in your life, as soon as it happens in the beginning of that trial and in the beginning of that tribulation, go first, right then, in the beginning of that, go to God. Ask God. God is our helper. And God is able to help. And He is the only one who is always able to help you with your problems. So in the beginning of every trouble, in the beginning of every trouble and problem that you have, then I encourage you and I beg you and I exhort you to go to God every time you're having trouble. And in the middle of all of your blessings, when you have a blessing, in the beginning of looking at your blessing every day and all the blessings you have every day, and we do have many blessings every day, don't we? We need to know what to do when we have those blessings. And you know what you need to do every time you have a blessing? You need to say, "Thank you, Lord." Because every good gift and every perfect gift comes from God. And as you look at your blessings, you need to say, "God, thank you for what you have given me this day. Thank you for the blessings of this day." In the beginning of every day, in the beginning of every week, in the beginning of every month, and in the beginning of this year, put God first. We're talking about setting priorities. And so the first thing I want you to remember as far as setting priorities is that God must be first in your life. Who's more important? Who does the Word of God teach is to be number one in your life? Your wife, right? Your children. Your family. Your parents. No, the Word of God teaches, and this is not anything against your family, brethren. This is the way to have a happy family. Is if every member of your family understands that the first and most important one in your life and my life, if you want to have a joy-filled year, God has to be number one in your life. The first and great commandment. We're talking about setting things in order. Here's the first commandment. The first and great commandment is, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. Love God first and foremost. Are you to love your family also? Absolutely. The Word of God says, husbands, love your wives. It teaches that parents are to love their children and children are to honor their parents. All of that is fine, well, and good, and it is important. And you cannot be loving God if you're not loving your family. But loving God is first and foremost. You remember how Revelation chapter 2 and verse 4, Jesus speaks to the church at Ephesus and he says, after he's told them some good things they've done, he says, "Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee because thou hast left thy what? First love." Who is the first love? You think they were talking about their mother? Not at all. When he says, "Thou hast left thy first love," he was talking about who must be number one. He's talking about setting your priorities. Doesn't matter who else had become number one. It doesn't matter what else had become number one. Their priorities were out of order. First things were not first. They had left their first love. If I want to have a good year, the most important thing I have to do is to love God and put God first. He has to be number one in my life. Everything else will be in order. Everything else will be good if I begin every day and if I begin every thought with, "I love God." Do you love God? Do you really love God? It's a blessing to love God. Do you know the only reason that you love God is because God first loved you? It's a blessing for us to be able to love God, but it's also a great blessing to know that our God, the God of heaven and earth, the one true and living God, God loves you. God loves you. Sometimes in your life you may think nobody else loves you, but I'm telling you, God loves you. And He loves you so much that He gave His only begotten Son. What a marvelous gift that was. And we need to praise God for that. So in the beginning of my life, in the beginning of every day, in the beginning of all the blessings I think of, the first blessing and the most important of all, and the one that I am to love the most, is God. It won't work to love anybody else first above God. You will always have trouble if you love anybody else above God. God will not allow you to love somebody more than you love Him. God will tear that person down from your throne. God requires us to be faithful to our first love. And you know, right after that, He says in Revelation 2:5, He says that they needed to repent and to return to their and to do the first works. Now, we're talking about setting priorities, right? What's the first love that's supposed to be in our life? Love God. What are the first works? Do we have a lot of works? You take this building, say if there's 100 people here, you probably have at least 100 different directions to go in this coming week. Most of us have a lot of different directions to go in. You have a lot of different works that you're going to be doing this coming week. Isn't that right? You have a lot of different works. But there are some first works that have to be done. And that's what God is saying there in Revelation 2:5. After He says they had left their first love, He says that you've got to return and do the first works. There are works that are supposed to be the first works that we do. When I came home from school every day, I had a first work to do every day. First thing that I had to do, first thing I was supposed to do every day, without exception. First thing. You remember what it was, Mama?
Change your clothes.
Change your clothes. That's absolutely right. We wore nice clothes to school, and the first thing you had to do, the first work when you came home, was change your clothes. You put on work clothes. You put on play clothes. You put on other kind of clothes. But that was the first work. And I got in trouble any time that I did not do that first work when I came home. All of us have first things. What's first in your life? What works are first? What are the things you're going to do this coming week that are the most important to you? Are they the first works that God says you ought to be doing? Or are there other works that you're doing that have taken first place in your life? If other things take first place, if other works become more important than the first works that God says we're to do, then we've got our priorities mixed up, and we better do first things first. We'd better get back, and if you're going to have a happy year, you have to set things in proper order. You have to do the first works. You have to love God first. Now, I want us to go back to the Sermon on the Mount, and I want us to look, as we look through some of the teachings of Jesus, and I want us to notice that sometimes the people of God will start to do something, and God, in essence, will say, there's no use in doing that until you do something else. Five-letter word. Do something else what? Do something else first. And I believe in all of God's children's life that we tend to do something else first than what God says to do first. So it is that the Word of God, the Scriptures say, okay, now, before you do this, this has to be done first. Do this first. First thing in the morning, tomorrow morning, Monday morning, what's the first thing you're going to do? What's the first thing you're going to do tomorrow morning? Good. And if that's the... Say it again. Before breakfast, what are you going to do? Before you get up and wash your face and hands and comb your hair, what are you going to do? There you are. Very good. Very good. Before you eat breakfast, before you wash your face and hands and comb your hair, before you do anything else, the first thing is to pray to God and thank God for another night. Thank God for another day. Thank God for all the blessings of life. Praise God. In the beginning of every day, start it out with God. In the beginning, God. Now, turn to Matthew chapter 5. I want us to look in the Sermon on the Mount at three or four times that Jesus says, now, you got to do something else first. You got to do something else first. Was there something you had to do before you came to church today? Was there something else that is being in God's house? Is that a good work? Is that a good work? Is that a work that God says to do? The Bible says that you're to be in the house of God. You're to go to the house of God. In fact, you're supposed to be glad to go to the house of God. David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. So going to God's house is a work that's part of the first works that we're supposed to do. Look at Matthew chapter 5. Come down to verse 23. Matthew 5, verse 23. Jesus tells us there's some first things that have to be done before you go to the house of God. Before you, what's one of the other things you do in the house of God is that we did a while ago? We sing, and what else do we do besides sing? Okay, we gave our tithes and offerings. Let me tell you something. If you don't believe God's Word teaches that, you need to see me. You don't have to listen to what I say, but you do need to look at what God's Word says. There are some people that are in open rebellion to God's Word. They despise what God's Word says. And did you know that people that despise God's Word, they can't be happy in God's house very long. They'll hit the road. They'll be gone. If the Word of God is preached, if the Word of God is taught, the people of God who don't want to follow the Word of God will go somewhere else. But if you love God, and if you love the Word of God, and you want to please God, you're going to be looking at what God's Word has to say. In Matthew chapter 5, notice verse 23. Matthew 5, 23, Jesus says, "Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way." What's the next word? First, be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. Is it good to go to the house of God? Good to go to the temple? Yes. Is it good when you go to the house of God to give your tithes and offerings? Yes. But if you get to the house of God and you remember that your brother has anything against you, you're to leave your... Is it all right to just keep on with the service? Or is there something you have to do before you give your gift? He says, first, just leave your altar there, leave your gift there. First, go be reconciled to thy brother. Brethren, it doesn't matter what else you do in your life. If you got aught against a brother or sister in Christ, you're messing up everything else in your life. You're going to the house of God, you're giving your gifts, everything else you do is of no value when you're holding malice in your heart. It won't work. Nothing else. You're going to have an unhappy year if you hold malice in your heart. Can't have it. God won't allow it. Hold on to it if you want to. You think you're hurting somebody else, you're not hurting anybody but yourself. Or I'm not going to say you're not hurting anybody but yourself, but the one you're hurting the most is yourself when you hold malice in your heart. Hold on to malice and it'll destroy your life. It's a canker. It's a cancer in you that will eat you up. You have to forgive. So if you have aught against anybody, I encourage you, before you come back to the house of God tonight, get it straightened out. What does Jesus say has to be done first? Before you come to the house of God, before you give your gift, what does it say? First, go be reconciled to thy brother. Does everybody follow that? We're talking about setting things in order. We're talking about priorities. We're talking about that if we're going to be happy and have a good year this coming year, we have to follow the priorities. We have to do the things that God says in His Word. These are the first things you have to do. Do it first. Do what God says is first. Look at Matthew chapter 6. He tells us something else that's first. Before you go to church, before you give your tithe, you're to be reconciled to your brother. But in Matthew chapter 6, and verse 33, he tells us what we're to seek first. You're seeking gold. Is there anybody here that's not interested in money? Is there anybody here that's not interested in money? Okay. Well, most of us are interested in money. And money has a place in our lives. Everybody understand that? You need God is the one to take care of us. You need to don't ever trust in money. The Bible specifically says, trust not in uncertain riches. But at the same time, we need money, don't we, to live, to buy food and clothing and shelter. We have to have money. But that better not be the first thing you seek in your life. Men that will be rich, men that will seek money first, or women or children or anybody else, if money is what you're seeking first and foremost, you'll be destroyed in your life. God won't allow it. Money and prestige and honor and glory, God won't allow His children to keep those things first. Eventually, and God is long-suffering, That was mentioned earlier. God is long-suffering. But God is a jealous God, and God will bring every work into judgment. Did you know there's not a thing you're going to do that God won't bring it into judgment? Everything. Even every idle word that you speak, the Word of God says, every idle word is going to be brought into judgment. Everything you do. Matthew chapter 6, here's what the Word of God says to seek. Matthew 6, verse 33, the Word of God says that Jesus says, but seek ye what?
First.
Seek ye first. More important, we're talking about setting our priorities for the coming year. More important than going to church, more important than giving your tithes is what? From Matthew 5. Okay, seek first the kingdom of God. But from Matthew 5, more important than going to church and more important than giving your tithe is what? What has to be done first?
Be reconciled.
Be reconciled to your brother. Get that straightened out. More important than seeking money or anything else in this world, the most important thing to seek every day is the kingdom of heaven. Now, I have a problem doing that every day. Sometimes I start seeking other things before I seek the kingdom of heaven. I have to work, and you will have to work to seek first the kingdom of God every day. It is so easy in our lives. You can be seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. You can have everything in order. Did you know it's very easy to get things out of order? Have any of you ever realized that and recognized in your life that you can start out with things in order? A lot of times, January 1st, I start out with a long list of things I'm going to do. Did any of you ever start out with a New Year's list of things you're going to do? You're going to try to do better this coming year. It's all right to do that. It's wrong to make a promise and not keep it. But listen, all of us make promises, don't we? Some people say they won't make any kind of a promise to God. You make promises all the time to God. You can deny it if you want to. Every time you sign a contract, that contract's not just between you and another person. That contract's also between you and God. You're making promises to God all in your life. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. That's the most important thing. That's the first thing to seek every day. And periodically you need to back up and examine yourself and say, now, do I have things in order? Do I really love God first and foremost? Do I really have the first works in priority in my life? Am I seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness? And Matthew chapter 7, he tells us other things that we get out of priority. How many of you ever judge anybody else? Hold your hand up if you ever judge anybody else.
We all do it.
Oh, thank you, sister. You're right. I'll amen that. We all do it. There's nobody here that doesn't sometimes judge somebody else. Now, Jesus talks about judging in Matthew chapter 7. I want you to come down to verse 3. Look at Matthew 7, verse 3. He says, and why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? What's a mote? Somebody give me another word that would mean the same thing as a mote. Okay, a speck, okay, or a splinter. A speck or a splinter, something very small. Why do you look at that mote that is in your brother's eye and you're not considering the beam? Anybody know what a beam is? Give me another word for a beam. Okay, a big board, a post, okay? You've got a beam in your own eye and you're looking at the little splinter in your brother's eye. He says, why are you looking at the mote that's in your brother's eye and you don't look and consider the beam that's in your own eye? Listen to verse 4. Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye. Verse 5 says, thou hypocrite. What's the next word?
First.
He says, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. What's the first thing you do? What's the first thing you have to do? The first thing you're supposed to do is to get the mote out of your own eye. Everybody here, we need to learn to set our priorities straight. Self-examination is one of the most important things that everybody here needs to do. Consider, the Scripture says, consider thyself. The Scripture says, examine your ways. Everybody here, part of the things that are necessary for us to do first things first is I have to examine myself. Is it good for me to watch over my brother and when he has a speck in his eye to help him get it out? That's taught in God's Word. In fact, in this passage it's taught. It says, after you get the beam out of your eye, then you'll be able to help your brother with the problems in his life. But you can't help other people with the problems in their lives until you, what's the five-letter word? Until you first get the beam out of your own life. You want to have a good year, 2010? Want to have a good year? What's the first thing? Who is the first one you need to love? God. In the beginning of every day and week and month, and in the beginning of every trial and tribulation and affliction, and in the beginning of every joy and pleasure that you have, in the beginning of all of it, think about God. And love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And do the first works. And before you come to the house of God, and before you give your gift at the altar, be sure that you're reconciled to your brother. And when you start seeking things every day, remember you must seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And when you start to help a brother with problems in his life, first look at your own life. What are we talking about today? We're talking about having a good year in 2010. We're talking about the way to have a good year is set things in priority. Do the first things first. Go with me to one other scripture in Matthew. Turn to Matthew chapter 23. First, I want to mention, in fact, this whole chapter is full of things that the Word of God says that have to be first. I want to just mention Matthew 23, verse 23. Matthew 23 and verse 23, Jesus says, "Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin." Was that something they were doing that was wrong? He says, "Woe to you because you pay the tithe." Is that wrong? What was the problem? He says, "Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith." Which is more important? Judgment, mercy, and faith, or paying tithes? Which one's most important? Judgment, mercy, and faith are most important. He says then, these ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone. Now what does he say there? Both. Both are important. All he does is say, remember what's first. First is this. This is to be done also. But the first thing is this. Judgment, mercy, and faith. And then he says that, and then also, not don't leave the other undone. Are you disobeying Jesus when you don't tithe? Are you disobeying Jesus? Absolutely. You can't get around that truth. You're just flat out rebelling against Jesus Christ when you don't pay your tithes and offerings. Now, come down to verse 25. In verse 25, we'll just mention one or two other things. In verse 25, Jesus says, "Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, for you make clean the outside of the cup and platter, but within they're full of extortion and excess. Thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also." What's he saying, dude? Clean first what? The inside of the cup. What do you typically clean most? And just think about this in your life. Do you spend more time cleaning the outside of your body or the inside of your body? And I'm not talking about, when I talk about the inside, I'm not talking about literally cleaning out. I'm talking about, do you really clean your soul up like you need to clean up your soul? Do you clean up your heart like you need to clean your heart? Do you clean up your mind like you need to clean up your mind? What Jesus is saying here is, if you're not cleaning up the inside, you're wasting your time on the outside. You have to start on the inside. A lot of other things that God's Word says. You know, I marvel at the depth of God's Word. Sometimes when I read the Word of God, I think, goodness gracious, God has added something to His Word. God hasn't ever added anything to His Word. But sometimes when I read the Bible, I think, I have never seen this before. This is something else that I've never seen, how beautiful all of this is before. But listen, brethren, my heart, my cup filled up and ran over this week in studying. God has just set forth in His Word. Did you know there are hundreds of times, listen, there are hundreds of times in the Bible that the word first is used. Now, all of those is not God telling us something that has to be in a particular order, but there are at least, in the New Testament, I picked out 14 things this week in studying, 14 things that God said, no, then do this first. Do this first. Do this first. And I hope that God will help all of us that will, in this coming year, that we'll set priorities. Do the first works. Love God first. Do other things that Jesus says. Now, before you do this, this needs to be done, but before you do this first. May God help us to do first things first, is my prayer for Christ's sake.